The American Immigrant Show with Dr. Spurk is a space where immigrant stories become American stories. Challenges become inspiration, and real life experiences fuel hope, opportunity, and transformation. This show isn't just about surviving immigration. It's about thriving, contributing, and redefining what it means to be an American. Welcome to the American Immigrant Show, where we bring clarity, courage, and answers to real people navigating the U.S. immigration journey. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Burke. Today's guest is Roberto Juan Ortiz, a seasoned immigration attorney and principal of Wehrmuth Pennell and Ortiz LLP in Miami. With nearly three decades of experience, Roberto helps families, professionals, and investors understand and succeed through complex immigration matters. For many people stepping into the U.S. immigration system for the first time, the process feels like a maze, confusing, intimidating, and full of unknown terrain. Roberto, welcome to the show. Let's start by pulling back the curtain on why so many people feel lost before they even begin to find their path. Topic discussion. The problem facing many in the audience is trying to navigate immigration law, and it often feels like you're lost in a maze with no guide. The audience, Roberto, have numerous questions, and today I'm going to start by asking you several of those questions. When someone first enters the U.S. immigration system, why does everything feel so confusing and overwhelming at the start?
Well, thank you again for the invitation. I appreciate it. Immigration law is very complex. There's a lot of different areas and scenarios that you have to look into. And it's imperative that people get hire an experienced immigration attorney to follow that and make it easier than by doing it alone. I mean, because it's quite complex, and you know, you have to look at the laws changing, especially now with this administration, an executive order every other day. So you need to be on your toes, and as immigration attorneys, that's something that we have to do in order to help all our clients. So that's what I would advise most of the people in the audience.
So what are the most common mistakes people make when they try to handle their case on their own without legal guidance?
There's quite a few. I mean, number one, they use the wrong form. Number two, they fill it out improperly and get it rejected, which can cause deadline problems if you're trying to file something on a deadline. They send it with the wrong fee. I mean, you have to make sure, even me as a seasoned attorney, I look every time I am going to send something to immigration, I review to make sure that the address is the same or to make sure it's changed. I review the fees to make sure that the fees haven't changed. And also, one of the biggest problems and mistakes I make is they don't send the required documentation. So sometimes, just recently, they changed that if you're submitting a residency case to become a lawful permanent resident, you have to submit it with a medical exam. If you don't send it with a medical exam, they're going to reject it. So there's a lot of intricacies that we as attorneys find out. Especially, I'm a member of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, and they have a great system. They send out an email every day of new things that come out, whether there's new rules, new president, or anything else. And so we learn by that. And also colleagues help out too, but it is very complex, and you have to keep on top of it. And the majority of people don't have the resources that we have, so they can get the, you know, they keep doing the mistakes. And that's why we are here to help.
So in your time of being an immigration attorney, I'm sure you've come across many, many different people regardless of country of origin or status. Can you please share a story about someone who felt completely lost until they got the right help and how that changed their future?
Well, just this is actually a case that happened just recently. I had a client who had been advised by an attorney, but the attorney didn't have the proper knowledge of the H-1B visa. And so she's from Venezuela, and as you know, Venezuelans are back and forth with the temporary protective status. It's either they have it, they don't have it, they have it, they don't have it. And they had a certain deadline, and the attorney at that time, what he did was he submitted the case. I've got the H-1B approved, but he had it done so that she would leave and do a consular processing, which it's kind of risky, especially for being from Venezuela. So I looked at the case, I reviewed it, and what I did was I amended the case. It was approved, and she didn't have to leave the U.S. and she can continue working. And now she's looking, her employer's looking to do a labor certification for her, and residency in the future. So, I mean, she went from being almost having to leave the country, because that's what the attorney told her to do, to stay the country and be able to apply for residency in the future when the company decides to do the labor certification for her.
And so, because of your expertise, you were really able to transform her outcome in a positive way.
Correct.
What would you say are some of the first steps that immigrants can take to feel more in control instead of powerless?
I think that the main thing is do your research, get educated. There's a lot of websites that are good. The American Immigration Lawyers Association website is fantastic. They have a lot of resources there. And so, you know, each case is different. So another thing is do not listen to your friends, because your friend's case is not the same as yours. I mean, that's something that I try to tell all my clients when they come in. We have to listen to your particular facts and see how we can go about it, and make it better.
And how do you help families stay hopeful when the process feels slow, complicated, and emotionally draining?
Well, that depends on the case. There's certain times that actually looking out and reaching out to a senator might be the better course of action than the attorney trying to call immigration 3 or 4 times. Because sometimes when we as attorneys call immigration, they tell us 30, 60, 90 days. If you do it through a senator, the senator actually gives you a better idea, and they have to respond within 3 to 4 weeks. So I mean, I try to calm down, tell them to be patient. But it depends on the particular case. Not all cases are the same, and sometimes we have to tell them, listen, we have to wait, and you have to deal with the wait, because that's what the current processing times are. Some applications you are able to pay more to make it faster, but not everybody has the money, so they have to wait till they are able to save to do it. So that's an advantage that sometimes there are certain applications that you can in the future do the what's called the premium processing, and you don't have to do it at the time. So sometimes those families have to save the money in order to do that. So it depends on the case, but I'm there for them and trying to speak to them as much as I can. And if they want to speak, I mean, I'm also kind of a psychologist as well. Try to keep a positive outlook, never try to be negative to any of my clients.
And so, as an immigrant myself, I think you just provided some amazing guidance right there, some great input for individuals who are stressed out potentially and uncertain of their direction and where to go in dealing with the immigration matter. Roberto, we're going to be taking a short little break and we'll be right back.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. We're continuing our conversation with Roberto Ortiz on the challenges immigrants face while waiting for decisions in their cases, a season that can feel like life is on hold. The problem facing many in the audience is waiting for their immigration decision, and it often feels like life is paused, like nothing can move forward until they hear yes or no. The audience, Robert, has furthermore expressed questions and answers to the following. Why does the waiting period in immigration cases feel so emotionally heavy for families?
I think because so much is riding on the future of saying yes or no. I mean, there's people that come over here to study, to live, to work, and then they're depending on an ask yes or no from immigration whether they will be able to continue here. I mean, the majority of my clients do it for their kids so that their kids can have a better upbringing and a better education. So I think that's pretty much what the and that's why it's so emotionally heavy. Because, I mean, not only are they coming to a brand new country, brand new culture, but also they can lose it in a second. So, I mean, that's why I think it's so emotionally draining.
And so much is riding on it for the family in the future, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So how does this waiting affect people's ability to plan for work, school, or even starting a family?
It makes it extremely difficult. But I mean, part of what we do as attorneys is we try and navigate that with them. So, I mean, that's why it's especially good to get to an experienced attorney, because if you come here without any plan or action, it's going to be very difficult. However, if you organize yourself and you say, listen, this is what I'm planning to do, and I need options and ideas. It becomes a lot better for that family because they'll be organized. For example, when does the school start? When can you start school? How do I get a job? How long to get my work permit? And all that information. So I think in order to make it less stressful and difficult, the planning is very important, because that way also you're going to assess how long is it taking, so they will know and have an idea, as opposed to somebody that just shows up with their tourist visa and says, yeah, I'm staying. That's very difficult.
And so while planning matters, what practical ideas or things do you believe that immigrants can do while waiting so they don't feel stuck or frozen in fear?
Well, I would say make sure you follow all the laws. For example, you know, make sure if you're driving, you have a license. Make sure that you don't drink and drive. Another one that's important is if you have an immigration case that's pending with immigration and you move, you need to let immigration know that you're moving. Because I've seen cases where the person moves, doesn't tell me or doesn't tell immigration, and then they miss an appointment, and that can destroy their case. And then you have to start either from zero or you're going to get deported. So I think you have to be mindful of everything around you, even though I know it's a very stressful time. But you have to be mindful of everything that's going on in order to make sure that you continue doing it, and following the laws of the countries are pretty straightforward. But I think that's how you become a better resident in the future.
So, Roberto, how do you encourage clients to stay strong mentally and emotionally during these long delays?
Well, the main thing I tell them is to be patient. I think patience is a virtue, and it makes people understand things better. A lot of the times when they're here and they're waiting, they have their kids in school and they're working themselves. So, I mean, I tell them, look, I mean, especially for some people that come from different countries that are, the things are not as good in those countries. I mean, you have a good job, you have, your kids are in school. I understand it's taking longer than usual, but it's patient. It was very difficult during the pandemic. Never during the pandemic because, I mean, immigration was working, but it wasn't working at 100%. So, it was interesting to be able to tell clients to, you know, keep forward, be positive, move forward. But yeah, patience was always my main advice to my clients.
So over time, you've met a lot of people trying to get legal status. And from your experience, can you share a story of someone who used their waiting time wisely and came out stronger on the other side?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a client. She came into the US through the border with a coyote. She was, I would say, 10, 11 years old when she came in. When she came in, because of the traumatic experience she had crossing the border, she did not speak either Spanish or English. We were able to apply for asylum for her. When we applied for asylum, it was asylum through the court. When it happened, she was 15, going to 16 years old. And at the time, she was already in a magnet high school here in the US. She was trying to study, she wanted to be a doctor. She was fluent in Spanish and English. And when we went to the individual hearing before the judge, she told the judge that she wanted to be, that her testimony wanted to do in English. She didn't need a translator or anything else. And we won that case, and she got asylum. And the judge told me that if I ever was in his court again, that he wanted to know how she was doing, because he was so impressed with what happened. And that's something, that's a case I'll never forget. And that was, I mean, it was very heartwarming, and it's amazing what happens. I mean, a person from, she was from El Salvador. She was there in El Salvador with her grandparents, but her parents were over here, so she came in to be with her parents. And to be able to be fluent in English, be doing so well in school, it was pretty amazing.
Roberto, where can viewers find resources or support while they're navigating long waiting periods?
They can go to USCIS.gov, and also they can go to AILA.org. That's AILA.org. AILA, American Immigration and Lawyers Associations, has a lot of resources to help people that need help in that. Of course, I mean, if you have an attorney, you go through your attorney, and your attorney will be able to help you.
So up next, living under the shadow of deportation fear and what immigrants need to know about legal protection and peace of mind.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. One of the most stressful realities of many families is the fear of deportation, even when they are trying to comply with the law. Let's explore how that fear affects daily life and what options are available. Topic discussion. The problem facing many in the audience is fear of deportation, and it often feels like their life could be taken away at any moment, even when they are doing everything right. So Roberto, for the purpose of the audience, we have several more questions for you. Why do so many immigrants live with constant fear even when they are following the law?
Well, I think sometimes they're not properly counseled, number one. Number two, they listen too much to social media and their friends. If you look at social media, you'll be crazy. I have a couple of clients that come in and they're like, oh, but this person says this. I was like, listen, if I'm your attorney, I'm your attorney, and I'm going to be here to explain everything to you. So I think there's a lot of outside noise that benefits that fear. And I think the best thing that they can do is they need to, like I've said before, educate themselves, research themselves. And if you have an attorney, speak to your attorney. That's what we're here for. I mean, I talk to clients. It's not like you only see me once and that's it. No, that's what I do. I talk to clients, and if they have questions, and if something, a brand new law comes out and I don't know the answer, I say, listen, give me time to review what came out, and I'll call you and I'll give you an answer once I find out what exactly is going on, because that's usually what happens. So something that comes out immediately, you still have to wait to see how is it going to be addressed by the administration, and how is it going to be addressed, period.
And so we both know that the whole immigration process can be very fearful and scary. And so how do you feel like the fear shows up in people's daily lives, you know, at their work, at school, or even in their homes and families?
Well, currently, under the current atmosphere of ICE being everywhere, I think that's the main concern of most of my clients. The fear that ICE is going to be at their jobs, or that fear that ICE will be going to their schools, or even their houses now that they have carte blanche to go into any house because they don't need a search warrant. So that's what the fear of people today is. However, I mean, I tell people right now that, I mean, from what I've seen in the news and everything else, what they're attacking is people that have deportation orders. I mean, I know that some are falling in there that are not with deportation orders. But I mean, I tell them to make sure that they have their documents. And I explain to them, listen, this is what your case is about. Explain it properly so you know. But try and have all documentation on top of you so that you can show to the person if they ask you.
Good advice. In your view, what legal protections or rights do immigrants have that they often don't know about?
I think one of the main things, if you're an immigrant here, you have a right to an attorney. So you can say that, I want to speak to my attorney. So if a person comes in like ICE and you said, and they ask you or anything, I said, I would like to speak to my attorney, and make sure you have your attorney on speed dial to call your attorney. So my advice to the majority of people that don't have attorneys and are in proceedings or anything else is try and hire an attorney. There are extremely good attorneys everywhere across this US that have the experience to help you with anything that you need. And even if there's not an option, they can try and do something else so that you don't get detained and incarcerated. Because you can actually request for voluntary departure before a judge, and you can leave without being detained, or having to be give any type of money to come out or anything else, any bond or anything like that. So I think that's one of the most important things.
Given all the various immigrants and backgrounds and people you've met in your practice over time, can you share an example of someone who felt terrified but found relief after understanding their options?
I had a case about, I would say, about 10 years ago. Well, it was a lady that she was petitioned by a US citizen. She is from Colombia. She came in. Once she came in, she went to the husband's house, and the husband opened the door and said, "I don't need you. I don't want you." He closed the door on her, and she had nothing. And then she did not know that she would be able to apply to remove her condition because it was a marriage under 2 years. So she came in with the help of another gentleman friend of hers, and we were able to do the case, and we were able to get her residency removed, and she later became a citizen. So I mean, at the time she was terrified because she thought she was going to get deported, that she had no way of staying or any way of going forward with her case, and we were able to, fix that problem for her, and she was able to stay and become a citizen.
That's a tremendous, amazing story, isn't it? Success, huh?
It is.
What message would you give viewers right now who are too scared to ask for help because of the fear of deportation?
I speak to an experienced immigration attorney, and explain to them what your issue is. I mean, give them. There's certain times that we're like priests. You have to tell us all the truth, and tell us everything that concerns your case, not just the top layer. We need the entire layer, all the layers of the each one, so we can peel them off and see if we can help you out or not, and tell you if you should go into hiding or if you should go move to another place, or basically give up and try and request for a voluntary departure. But I think that is the best thing that we can do, and that's why we're here, to help out the community. I mean, there are also organizations out there that help out in case people don't have the resources to do it. And those resources, you can go into the American Immigration Lawyers Association website, and there are different organizations all across that do pro bono in your area, and they can help you out as well.
So, coming up, we tackle one of the most emotional aspects of the immigrant experience, family separation and the dream of reunification.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to the American Immigrant Show anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. For many families, the greatest pain is separation. When a spouse, parent, or child remain in another country while the loved ones settle in the U.S. The problem facing many in the audience is wanting to reunite with their family, and it often feels like the system makes that almost impossible. Roberto, I have several questions for you on this topic. Why is family reunification one of the most emotional and difficult parts of immigration law?
Well, it is because certain parts of immigration law keep family apart. The main thing is family for, I'm talking in the Latin side, family always keeps together. As I hear my clients all the time of different ages being together, but in immigration law, a family for purposes of immigration is the applicant, his or her spouse, and children under 21 years of age. Once you reach 21, you're out of the family group. So that is why it's imperative that when you sit down and decide to move over here, that we sit down and figure out what we're gonna do with the whole family and the people you wanna bring in. Because especially if you say, look, I wanna bring my mother, we have to sit down and verify that because it is difficult. Because for purposes of immigration, that's what family is. Applicant, spouse, and children under 21 years old, not married. So if you have a child that's 21 or 23 that's has, you know, a disease or some type of medical condition that it's living with you, we have to figure out what we're going to do with that person. And unfortunately, there's no areas in the law that can help us with that, so we have to be very careful when we help people out. But it can be difficult. I've seen it, especially when there's some families that are extremely together, and you know, I know family members that are 34, 35 years old are still living with parents. That's the way there is in some families, and we have to look into that to see how we're going to be able to help the family stay reunited and do the reunification.
So Roberto, what emotional struggles do you see in parents, spouses, and children who are separated for years?
It breaks families, relationships. It strains. There's a case that it made the two children have psychological issues because the two children couldn't be here with their mom. And so it caused a lot of effect on the children and also on the father, because the father was trying to deal with the two children. So it was very difficult. It's, if you're coming here, you should try and do it, like I said, planned and organized, because if you try to do it without anything, you'll be able to miss things. I mean, I had another case where the husband was deported and the wife was here. The wife had a brain tumor and she was going to get operated, and I tried to get the gentleman over here so he could be next to his wife, and I tried to do a humanitarian parole for them and it was denied. So unfortunately, the U.S. immigration agency does not have a heart sometimes. And so you have to have that in mind when dealing with these type of cases, because it's happened more than once. So unfortunately, the family reunification sometimes is very difficult.
And wouldn't you say that sometimes it really has to do with money and finances? The people here had to come on their own because the people back that they left behind, they didn't have enough money to make it all happen for everybody.
Yeah.
And that creates a lot of issues.
Absolutely,
So
yes.
what legal paths exist, in your opinion, that people may not know about to bring their loved ones to the US?
Well, it depends on each case. That's why people need to understand that no case is the same, and that there, attorneys depends on each case. For example, if we have the older kids, we could do student visas. The problem with the student visas is that might cost a higher tuition for the person. If you want to bring your mom or father, we have to see if we have any other way of doing it. Or first try and come in, become a resident, and then become a citizen, and then being able to petition your parents. But there's paths. You have to sit down with each particular case and go through it to see what alternatives you have. There are always alternatives. It's just you have to see which are the alternatives you can use for each particular case, and then from that, then we will explore and see how fast we can get them and how fast we can make the reunification of the family.
From your many years of doing immigration work, can you share a hopeful story of a family that was finally reunited after a long, long journey?
Yeah. I had a client who her mother was living in the United States. Her mother was in an accident and she became comatose. She was in a coma. So they hired me to do a humanitarian parole for the daughter. I was able to get the humanitarian parole for the daughter. And then while the daughter was here, since she was from country that was able to allow to become residency after a year and a day, we applied for a residency and she became a resident. And then we tried to do a humanitarian parole for the daughter, her two kids, and the husband, and that took forever. However, after I would say 5 or 6 years, we were able to do it, and they were able to come in, and that was a very emotional time for the whole family because they were actually be able to stay together after being so long apart.
And what advice then would you give to families who feel discouraged and don't know where to begin?
Well, again, do your research, get educated, and hire an experienced immigration attorney. I can't tell that enough. I mean, that's what we do for a living. There's different type of immigration attorneys. There's immigration attorneys that deal with, deportation, business, family. So, if you can't find one in your area, again, go to the American Immigration Lawyers Association. They have a list of all the attorneys. And, that's what we do. We try to make your experience better and easier to go through. So when you are able to become a resident, you're happier and not as fearful.
Good advice, Roberto. Now, this conversation has been amazing. It's been a great a joy for me to meet you and interview you.
Thank you.
The conversation has been incredibly valuable. We'd love to provide resources, contact resources for you and your firm so that individuals that need your direction and your support and help with their immigration problems can reach you. So where can viewers follow your work, find trustworthy advice, and get support?
Well, I'm on Instagram, so you can go to @WPO Law Firm on Instagram, There's different ways that you can either DM me or send me a message. You can go to our website, which is www.wpolaw.com. And there's a contact us that sends me an email if you need me, and the phone number in case you want to know it. But basically, those are the two ways, the easiest ways to get a hold of me.
Do you want to share a phone number on the screen?
Sure. My office number is 305-400-2210.
Amazing. Roberto, I thank you so much for sharing your guidance, and you're a very decent, honest, and compassionate man. That's what I can tell. And if I had
thank
a
you.
Lawsuit to do, or a client or a person that needed help, I'd definitely guide them in your path. But Zach, we're not scrolling anymore. And I'm ad-libbing here just a bit, you know. you realize. Yeah. So there's some closing remarks here, okay, Roberto? Is thank you for sharing your expertise and compassion with our audience. Immigration is complex, personal, and emotional. But with the right guidance, families can find the clarity and confidence they need to move forward. We've explored navigating the system, surviving waiting periods, facing fears, and reuniting families. These are real experiences and real solutions. And your insights, Roberto, give our viewers hope and direction. Stay informed, stay connected, and remember, every journey has a path forward. I'm Dr. Dennis Burke, and this has been the American Immigrant Show on Now Media Television.